Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
A news report by a journalist who every journalist, if I were still an adjunct professor in journalism, as I've done for a few years, I would show the piece of the following report you're about to hear of Kyung La. She's a senior correspondent, investigative reporter, and everybody at CNN especially, but I would show this to every journalism student and say, this is what we want to see. You know, everything lately is so politicized in reporting. And in particular, when we think about the tragedy of these wildfires in Los Angeles and people left homeless, the firefighters, who did what, who didn't do their job, etc. But this is the way you want to report. This is the way you want to investigate, to remember the people and the humanity. And so in this one, this is a chief correspondent, CNN's investigative reporter based in Los Angeles, Kyung La, and she talks to fire captain Freddie Escobar. I want you to listen.
That commission meeting, you said it's dire. Someone will die.
It's eerie listening to your words, because that's what occurred. So it's, let me just take a minute, sorry.
Fire Captain Freddie Escobar.
You're not supposed to make me cry.
35-year veteran of the Los Angeles Fire Department wishes he'd been wrong, and this had not happened. For years, the LAFD union president warned that a disaster like the Palisades fire could happen. And while the cataclysmic weather conditions were historic, Escobar also blamed something predictable that hurt the firefight: money.
This is a woefully understaffed fire department. We're either going to have a fire department that's going to reflect 2025, or we're going to have a fire department that's going to reflect the 1960s.
A CNN analysis shows out of the 10 biggest cities in the nation, Los Angeles ranks ninth when it comes to the number of firefighters per resident. And it shows millions of dollars in rescue equipment is just sitting in a lot, unused, because the fire department can't afford to hire the mechanics to repair it. LA's fire chief said in a recent memo, the fire department staffing levels were half the size of what they should be.
If we cut one position, if we close one station, if we close one resource, the residents of Los Angeles are going to pay the ultimate sacrifice, and someone will die.
And so when I saw that, I teared up. You can't help. It's because your heart goes out to these firefighters, people who saw this kind of thing coming. But it's that kind of news reporting that we miss.
Humanity.
Yes. And just, yes, it's an investigation, of course, but as well, there's so much heart, the facts, the heart, and really bringing it home that there were people looking at this, doing their jobs, and how they are perceiving everything that's happening around them with all of this tragedy. So we want to bring in senior investigative correspondent for CNN based in Los Angeles, Kyung La. It's really an honor. How are you? Thanks for being here today.
Okay, it is an honor for me, Dawn. I don't know if you've mentioned this earlier.
Not yet.
But I was a little grunt running you scripts and getting donuts at WBBM when you were the big star reporter. It is such a thrill to be here and talking to you. Also, you were really, truly one of the most gracious women, one of the most gracious reporters I ever worked with when I was starting out in my career. So to me, this is such a thrill. So thank you. And I'm so happy for you, for your family, for your success in your career. It's just a delight to be with you.
Oh, back at you.
That's amazing.
I know. You know what's so funny is that I saw it and I was so into your report, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know her. You know what I mean? It's like this small world.
It's a shock that you remembered me. Again, back to your graciousness. I mean, incredible.
No, but I mean, you've paid your dues. You were so hardworking then and throughout your career. But I looked at this and I was like, wow, everybody, you know, we think about, it's easy to criticize, right? We criticize and look at, you know, I don't know, the politicization, I think, of every corner of our country and journalism and news media. But in this one, it's just such a glowing example because not only are you doing the homework and you've done the legwork, but you clearly, in everybody that you interviewed, they had such respect for you that they were, you know, you got people to open up. And that's really the difference here, is that you not only are investigating this and giving all the background, but, you know, it's not easy to get. I mean, this, when you interview, you know, Freddie Escobar, he's a big guy. He's this big,
huge.
Right? This, you know, big, you know, he's a 35-year veteran firefighter. And just to see him, he turns away because he didn't mean for that to happen. But in that moment, you just see the fact that he's not trying to do anything political, right? He's just trying to say, my God, we got to fix this.
I think so often with our first responders, with police officers, with our doctors, with our firefighters, how often do we stop to just ask them, are you okay? And that was one of the questions I asked him is, are you okay? That was the beginning of our talk. It had been a really long week for the firefighters. I live here in Southern California, and I live a stone's throw from Altadena, where my children who go to school with kids who lost their homes, the principal of my son's school lost her home. So this is very, very personal. And so by sharing something just human about being community members, because this is our home, mm-hmm. And nobody wants this to happen. It transcends everything. And if we can all talk to each other just as regular people, that's a really great place to start, because that's what journalism is about. It's about finding the data. For me, it is starting with that analysis that our investigative team found. And it is nonpartisan. All you do is we looked at the data of the 10 largest U.S. cities, and it was very clear that Los Angeles had not been staffing the fire department at the same level as every other major city. Out of the top 10, Los Angeles was ninth, and Los Angeles is the second largest city in the country. So, you know, where you are in Philadelphia, you staff much higher than Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and the threat of wildfire here is much higher. So once you start there, and then you weave in the, are you okay? Mm-hmm. What is happening to your firefighters? That's a really great conversation piece, and it's a way to make the people who are putting their lives on the line for all of us, regardless of what city you're in, it helps bring them home to all of us.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, Kyung La, who we're having the conversation with, senior investigative correspondent for CNN, as you said, based in Los Angeles. But I know, I mean, you're an award-winning journalist. You've covered major U.S. as well as global events. And that's just over the past decade, the mass shooting, the horrible tragedy at Sandy Hook, to the missing flight from Malaysia, the downing of the other flight, you know, that was from Ukraine. But you also have a knowledge internationally as a Korean-American on Asia-Pacific regions. And so you've covered the tensions with North Korea and that sort of thing. As somebody, as a Korean-American, When you look at that and you're covering, for example, different communities such as international relations, what's important to you to bring forth as far as to share with your viewers, with your listeners?
What I always try to think about is that we're really not that different. I immigrated to the United States, and English is my second language. Don, you'll know this. Mm-hmm. my dad had a liquor store in Chicago. So the way my dad talked to people in Chicago was a lot of people he couldn't communicate with. Most of his customers were Black and Mexican, and how is he going to communicate with them as this foreign person in the middle of Chicago? It's just you treat everybody the same. At least that's the starting point. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be tension when you're so different. And so that's sort of been my guiding principle, is we have to be able to speak to each other as people and as human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think journalism is a really great place to start. And this radio program, it's a great place for us to have conversations about who we are. What are the issues that really will help us raise our children, raise our families, keep us healthy? And so as long as we can, you know, focus on that and push the news to keep illuminating what's going to make America better and healthy and strong. I've always sort of, you know, use that as my guiding light, no matter where I am in the world. And it doesn't matter if I'm speaking to a Ukrainian or a Korean or somebody who's Japanese, you know, no matter where I am on the planet, it is always the same, that we all want the same things.
And so when we think about, you know, when we think about Monday and turning a new page in American history, where do you, you know, do you have hope that we can have, and by the way, that's, you know, I'm smiling because I always talk about the conversation. We need to have the conversation and celebrate each other, and what makes us different is what makes us special. And so diversity of thought, diversity of the conversation, like you're saying. But where do you see journalism going as far as that piece of this goes?
I think it's going to be the basic tenets of what we just talked about, the story. A lot of our analysis in the investigative unit, CNN, and CNN, you know, invests in its reporters. I am so pleased to work as an investigative correspondent, because where we start a lot of times is, what's the data? What is the analysis? And we take our story from there. And as long as we can continue to illuminate what the facts of the analysis and then how it impacts people, I think we're in a great place. I feel optimistic about what happens on Monday. Change is a part of America. And to some people, Monday will feel like, you know, going back to the first Trump administration. I actually fundamentally disagree with that. It is going to be different. And, you know, it is going to feel uncomfortable for some of the voters who didn't support Trump. Mm-hmm. And it will feel new and different to those who did vote for Trump. But again, I don't think that the things that we want as a country are all that different. So as long as we can keep starting from the data and reflect it back to who and how we are and what we want as a country, I feel optimistic about where we're going to go.
Beautifully said. As a mom, just your reaction to this morning, the latest from the Supreme Court, right at 10 o'clock. They're not personally making it. It's, you know, the announcement on the website, basically online. But just your reaction that, I mean, the bottom line is what they're saying is that unless they, I don't know, sell it or work it out with American ownership, it'll be shut down.
You're talking about TikTok. Okay,
TikTok,
let me tell you the hilarious part about my parenting is when I was pregnant, more than a decade ago, I had a conversation. I did an interview with Eric Schmidt at Google, and I asked him for parenting advice in the new technological age, and he said, just keep your kids off of devices as long as you can. Keep your kids away from social media as long as you can. That, you know, teach them to play in the dirt. And so my kids don't have social media. My kids don't have, my daughter, who is a sophomore in high school, doesn't have a smartphone. She's very angry about it, but she has no way to connect to TikTok. And neither does my son. So, I mean, to some extent, like, yes, I understand that it has a tremendous impact on parents. Mm-hmm. It doesn't impact my household because they're not on it.
Yes,
and
smart.
It's just a choice that we made as parents. But my husband and I decided that's what we're going to do. Maybe our kids hate us, but, you know, yeah, we're going to keep them off of it as long as we can.
Yeah, I have teenage sons, and I think girls are impacted more than girls are impacted more than boys. But the boys are affected too by it. And that's
totally.
The way you look, right? The bullying and all that stuff. So I agree with you. Just keep them off of it as long as you possibly can. Listen, what a pleasure. You're just a breath of fresh air. I hope you come back on. We'd just love to continue the conversation.
I would love to.
Young La, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you.
And it was such a thrill talking to you, Dawn, and congratulations again. I'm so thrilled to have been with you.
Oh, me too. Back at you. Well, until next time. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.